In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Always for us the indication of the accelerated pace of Lent, the veiling of sacred images in the church. This, of course, is in traditional parlance, Passiontide. Passiontide is older than Lent itself. Passiontide, which was somewhat discontinued in 1969, has its origins all the way back to the 3rd century. And in this time, the faithful would consider in the 14 days before the celebration of Easter the reality of the suffering and death of our Lord, which is why in the church the stations of the cross are not veiled, but everything else is. It's time for the faithful to contemplate after the weeks of Lent, where they contemplate themselves and what they need to do in prayer and almsgiving and fasting, what they need to sacrifice, what they need to detach from. Now is the time to see the reality of the why and how that effort, all the added prayer, all the added almsgiving, all the added fasting, was actually about configuring ourselves to the crucified one, the crucified Lord. And therefore, even the images of the crucifix on the altar are hidden because of the reality of Christ hiding himself in the gospel for Passion Sunday, which is today in the old calendar. And in Passion Sunday, the gospel ends with the Lord hiding himself because he had just told the Pharisees exactly what they needed to hear, and they didn't like it, and they were going to pick up stones so that they could kill him. And our Lord hid himself in order to prevent them from killing him too soon. So he's not hiding out of fear, but he's hiding out of the reality of all things must be done according to the plan of God the Father. And the Passover of the Jews was a prefiguring of the suffering and death of the true Lamb, the Lamb that would be killed at Passover and its blood put over the lintels of the doors so that the angel of death would pass over the Jews so that they would not suffer the wrath of God through the angel of death that prefigures the blood of Christ that can save all men from dying, can save all men from the eternal death of the devil, eternity in hell. But it's up to each and every man to accept that. And obviously the Jews and the Pharisees did not. And so that is why for us, at least in a spiritual sense, there should be some degree of trepidation, something eerie about all the images being covered, because it indeed indicates our Lord hiding himself. Our Lord hides himself from those who refuse to believe. Our Lord hides himself from those who make the world more important than him. Our Lord hides himself deliberately because it is an opportunity for grace, but also it's a punishment. I hearken back often to the first chapter of St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, where he explains what the wrath of God is. Too many people think the wrath of God is thunder and lightning or hurricanes and tornadoes. That's just the reality of nature and the reality of man's fallen state and how nature turns against man because man is sinful. Now, the wrath of God is the worst possible thing. It is the withdrawal of grace. When God punishes us, he withdraws grace. Without God's grace, we can do no good. We cannot see the truth. Our intellects get further darkened by sin. And ultimately, we are on a path to destruction, not because God is so mean, but because we are so mean and so rebellious and so hell-bent on destruction. And so therefore, the veiled images should be unnerving because even though we're concentrating on the passion for the remaining time between now and Easter Sunday, the reality is we should still embrace some degree of self-criticism. And if we've been doing it correctly during the Lenten season, we've been seeing where our flaws lie, where we are too attached to the things of the world, and we've tried to detach, and we've tried to work virtue out in opposition to the vices. So now comes the time to ask ourselves, do we really see Christ? Because if we don't, it would be that Christ is hiding himself from us. And if he is hiding himself from us, That means we are at fault. It means we have deserved a withdrawal of grace. And we often want to think, well, that is only for sinners. That's only for those who commit sins. No, it is for those who make the world more important than the Christ. Remember, God is love, Deus caritas est, which means that since love is freeing, God is so loving that it lets us choose to reject him, and that he lets us experience the consequences of our rejection because he loves us. He's not going to force us to be with him in this life or for eternity in the next. So our Lord will hide himself, just like he did for the Jews, in particular the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. Christ was not the Messiah they wanted him to be. He was not a military conqueror. He was not a powerful figure, as they saw he should be, politically active, a social justice warrior. He was establishing the kingdom on earth, the church, for the eternal kingdom in heaven. Therefore, he never promised to take away world hunger. He never promised to take away war. He never promised to take away suffering. In fact, he gave suffering its meaning. But because he wasn't the Messiah they wanted, because if he was the Messiah they wanted, then he would do everything they liked, and he would make their lives so comfortable. But because he wasn't the Messiah they wanted, but the Messiah that God had intended, he who is the second person of the Holy Trinity, he is God, that would require the scribes and the chief priests and the Pharisees to change their lives, to alter their course, and they don't want to do it. They like life the way it is. They like it as comfortable as it is. They don't want to increase anything with regards to prayer. They don't want to increase anything because what they do, they're comfortable with. And even though in the Pharisees' case, their lives were profoundly rigid and strict, it was still very comfortable for them. Very comfortable. It was empty gestures that were exterior actions that had no interior conversion, no interior effect. And therefore, Christ was a threat. And they wanted nothing to do with him. They looked for any excuse, and they were ready to kill him the moment he said those two words. In Greek, ego eimi. In English, I am. The holy name, he said who he was, God. And they were ready to kill him for it. In other words, they wanted a Messiah that was not God. They wanted a Messiah that was worldly. And Christ is God. And as he tells Pontius Pilate, as we'll hear on Good Friday, my kingdom is not of this world. And therefore, Christ hides himself from those who have that mentality. So if we evaluate our own lives and we find ourselves so driven towards worldly pursuits and worldly things that prayer always takes second place, that any opportunity for growth in spiritual life, say to go to Mass, for example, and we choose not to do it, we're always making the world more important than God, more important than Christ. Every Mass is about worshiping God the Father, Christ Jesus offering himself to God the Father. The principal recipient of every Mass is God the Father, not you, not me. And therefore, for us to be here as God the Son offers himself to God the Father, and you and I are made present to that by God the Holy Spirit, what could possibly be more important than that? And yet there are times that we're convinced that worldly responsibilities take precedent over these things. There are times we're convinced that even though Mass by its very nature, the word itself coming from Misa, same origin word as mission, the reality of being sent forth, every Catholic is supposed to be living the reality of what he experiences in the Mass out in the world. How many Catholics shelve that for the sake of worldly responsibility, worldly cares, and worse yet, worldly amusements? Mass is always less attended on Saturday evenings when UK is playing basketball. how many souls chose the University of Kentucky, dreadful as it is, over Christ. Because everything in this world is dreadful. Everything in this world is empty. Everything in this world is about a pursuit into oblivion. And so many souls choose that because the devil hides behind it. He makes it all so appealing. So even if we're not guilty of doing things like that, we have to take a stock in our lives, because every time you go to receive communion, if you are truly configured in your will and disposed towards what is happening, you're profoundly aware when the host is before your eyes that it is truly Jesus Christ, present, body, blood, soul, divinity, that it is your King, your Master, that it is God Himself. And you know this because He is present to you through the veil of the sacrament, but it's a veil that indeed can be seen through by virtue of the eyes of faith. But if it is to you only a host, only a piece of bread, or only an empty gesture, ask yourself why Christ has hidden Himself. It would be because you're not interested. Think of what we hear in the gospel today. These Greeks, these Gentiles, they come to see Christ. They made the effort to seek out Philip. They sought out Philip because Philip's name is Greek. And therefore, they went to Philip. We want to see the Christ. Philip goes to Andrew. Andrew was one of the first to follow Jesus, so he has some authority. And then Andrew and Philip go to Christ. And Christ says, now will the Son of Man be glorified, demonstrating that His death is not simply for the Jews, but for all mankind. And of course, the scribes and Pharisees don't like this because they like the idea of the rest of the world going to hell, because it makes them look better. But the Greeks wanted to see the Christ, and therefore Christ makes Himself visible. So much so that He will make Himself profoundly visible by being lifted high on the cross to draw all men to Himself. And the cross is veiled for our purposes to remind ourselves that our Lord will not allow Himself to be crucified too soon, because in everything He does, the Father's will first. Any death at any time would have served, wouldn't it? But the Father wanted Him to die in concert with the reality of the calendar, the Jewish calendar, for the Passover feast. These things are visible to us if we have spiritual eyes. If we have spiritual eyes, we're always looking for the spiritual meaning in every ordinary thing that occurs during the day. Every little thing, every big thing, every good thing, every evil thing. Because we're configured to Christ. What is your vision of Christ as you are here today? What will be your vision when you kneel at the altar rail? Consider it. Because if you truly see Him, then you are blessed, and He is bringing you further and further into life with Him. But if you're indifferent and you don't see Him, He's withdrawn from you. And it's because of you He's withdrawn. It's because of you He's hidden Himself. The effort on your part, then, if that's the case, is to move closer to Him, and He will make Himself visible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.